This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. Living through a global pandemic, many of us have faced dilemmas, hard decisions we never thought we would have to make. We weigh our options, calculate our risks. You've sent us lots of questions about these tricky choices, so Dr. Celine Gounder's back to help us answer them. She's a professor at NYU, where she's an epidemiologist and infectious disease specialist. Thanks for sticking around.
Sure.
Let's start with a question that we got from Molly in Arizona.
I live in Tucson, Arizona, and Tucson has begun opening. Even though our numbers of coronavirus victims are still going up, my dentist wants me to come in and get my teeth cleaned, a routine appointment. I'm 70 years old. I'm feeling very uncertain about this. What is your advice about going to see the dentist for just routine care?
Dr. Gounder, this is interesting because Molly's dentist is a medical professional saying, come in. As an infectious disease specialist, what's your advice to her?
Well, people don't realize that dental procedures, even dental cleanings, are among the most aerosol-producing medical procedures out there. So, you know, these are procedures that really do expose the dental staff, the hygienist, and the patients. And so there's a reason they wear masks at work, but I would say, for now, until, you know, we have a vaccine or things settle down in your area, I would avoid going to the dentist unless absolutely necessary for an emergency.
Okay. Next, we have a question that I think many listeners are beginning to have in states that are opening back up. Scarlett in Kansas writes, with hair salons opening up here in Kansas, I and others are wondering if it is safe to get a haircut. It is not possible to social distance with your hairdresser. Would it be safe if the stylist wore not just a mask, but a face shield? Or is it better to wait? If so, until when? How do we know when it is safe to get a haircut? What would you tell Scarlett?
Well, this goes back to the metrics I was talking about in the last segment that we need to be looking at. And so, unfortunately, not all public officials are looking at science-based metrics for how do you decide to reopen. In terms of getting your haircut, you know, is that essential? There's different ways to look at that. If you're really worried about your hairdresser, you know, and their livelihood, maybe you send her a check and a card as opposed to, you know, keeping her business going by getting a haircut.
I was going to say, it's hard for me to think of when getting a haircut would be essential. It might feel important, but all right. Well, here's our next listener dilemma from Angela in California.
Hi, my question is about a family member that we were just notified only has a couple more weeks to live, and my mom is set on going to go visit her before she goes. She would like me to go as well, but I just want to know what you think about this, and if I do go, what precautions should I take?
Oh, this is such a tough situation, and Dr. Gounder, I know Angela isn't alone, and there is no easy answer here. What advice would you give Angela?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't think she mentioned where she's from. So much of this does depend on if you're in a community where there's active transmission, declining transmission. You know, unfortunately, in New York City hospitals right now, as one example, no visitors are allowed for any patient. And that's to protect patients and their families. Mm-hmm. So it would really depend on where this family member is located and the facility per se, you know, and Angela's own risk factors for severe infection.
And it sounds like maybe if Angela does make that visit upon returning home, if it's a place with a high infection rate, it wouldn't be a bad idea for her to quarantine for 14 days afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think regardless, a 14-day quarantine would be a good idea.
All right. Well, if you have a question for Dr. Gounder, send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, you can use the hashtag NPRConversation or leave us a message at 202-403-0386. Once again, that number is 202-403-0386. All right, well, this next question is from Sarah in Bend, Oregon, who wants her kids to be able to see their grandparents nearby.
Is there a safe time, a way to do that? My husband is a nurse at the local hospital and definitely has a higher risk of exposure. So we're trying to figure out a good way for everybody to come together without social distancing, and whether or not people can give each other hugs and love and all the things that we would normally do anytime soon.
Grandkids understandably want to hug their grandparents, but the grandkids are living with somebody who is in a high-risk environment. Dr. Gounder, what would you tell Sarah?
You know, it depends on what kind of personal protective equipment your husband has access to, what kinds of patients he's treating. Is he working in the emergency room versus, you know, some other service? You know, there's a lot of ifs in these situations.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, I can't answer that with a yes or no. You know, you can do that now or you can do that in 3 months. It's just not that straightforward.
Okay. Our next listener in Minneapolis, Amanda, has a question that I think a lot of people are probably thinking about as the summer vacation season approaches. Let's listen.
Even with the increased cleaning that hotels are doing, we're still not sure if it even makes sense to take a vacation, knowing that the virus can live in the air for up to 3 hours. You know, I guess I just don't really know if it's even worth it to expose my family to that potential risk, even if it's small. So my question is if it's even worth it to take vacations right now, even if you stay close to home.
What would you say, Dr. Gounder? Do they have to wait until next year for a summer vacation, or is there a way that they can do this safely and mitigate the risk?
Yeah, there have been some studies looking at how the virus lingers on different surfaces. For example, people who've stayed in hotel rooms, and it has been found on surfaces like bedding, for example, and those duvets, those bedspreads are not always washed, unfortunately, between every customer. So I don't know what hotels are doing now. Presumably that may have changed.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that would be the kind of question I would be asking of the resort before you plan to book there.
But it sounds like maybe camping could be a better idea. Just pitch a tent someplace far away from
that
people.
May indeed be your safest option.
Okay. Our next question comes from Annie in Richmond, California, who's wondering about social distancing.
I was wondering if it's safe to have small social distance gathering with family members who aren't in your shelter in place group. If we're staying outside, staying 6 feet apart and wearing masks, is that okay?
Outside, 6 feet apart, masks on. Would you give a green light for that?
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty reasonable. I would add to that list making sure you have hand sanitizer everywhere. And, you know, so if somebody touches a, you know, picnic table and somebody else comes by later, you know, that you're hand sanitizing to prevent transmission, you know, on top of wearing the mask. But that seems like a pretty reasonable thing to be doing with friends and family.
It does seem like as the weather gets better and outdoor spaces like parks become more available to people, there might be ways for people to socialize in a responsible way that perhaps they haven't been able to for the first couple months of this pandemic.
And I think that's right. I think we need to be creative about using outdoor space in a way that's still, you know, maintaining that 6 foot distance between people, still wearing masks. But there are ways we could be creative about some of this. For example, restaurants opening up outdoor seating and so on. So we just need to think a little bit outside the box.
Dr. Celine Gounder, professor at New York University, where she is an epidemiologist and infectious disease specialist. It's always great to get your advice. Thanks again.
My pleasure.
If you have questions, ask on Twitter with the hashtag NPR Conversation. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.